Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Wait, praise the Lord. Michael Jakes here. We're here once again with the Bible Speaks Live. This is our Hot Topic Tuesday. We're glad that you could join us. Tonight we are going to continue with part two of our topic, which is I've Fallen And... That phrase, I've fallen and, became very popular some years ago. I've fallen and we know what the response to that is. I can't get up. But we want to talk about the fact that we can get up. When we fall into sin, when a Christian sins, we can get up. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about different ways that people, that Christians, do deal with the sin dilemma. Amen? And so we're glad that you could join us. Get your Bibles, your smart device out. We're going to be getting into the Word of God, as we always do. And we pray that your time spending God's Word here tonight will be a fruitful one indeed. Amen. And so we are ready to go. And we just bless the Lord and we honor Him and we thank Him for what He is doing in our midst. Let me just say, God bless you, my brother Jeff. Amen. God bless you, Frank and Tracy T. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. We ask that if you are watching us over Facebook, that you share out this page, that others also may be blessed. We always want to ensure that as many as possible are able to hear the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, shout out to those who are listening right now over Spreaker.com from across the United States and around the world. We see you and we thank you for listening and downloading our podcast. We pray once again also that you also will be blessed as you listen. Amen. We're going to pray and we're going to get right into this word for this evening. Amen. So Lord, we bless your name. We honor you and we thank you once again. Lord, you've given us this opportunity to open up your word. Lord, it is not a time that we take for granted. Lord, we know that we hold in our hands the word of life. And Lord, we are so careful to make sure that we do no violence to your word. So, Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth even now, Lord, that you will give us clarity of mind and heart. Lord, I pray that you might anoint your word as it goes forth. Anoint the minds and the hearts of those who will be on the receiving end. Lord, I pray that you will also touch them. Lord, we want to hear from you tonight. Lord, put us in the background. Lord, let you and your word be predominant. That's what we're all about. Lord, have your way. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you. And it's in your name that we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God bless you, Patty Black. Amen. Good to see you also. Amen. Well, if you were with us last week, you know that our topic is I've Fallen And we're talking about the fact that sin is a dilemma in the life of a Christian. We were talking about the fact that sin seems to be the pink elephant in the room. It's the thing that no one really wants to talk about. But it's the thing that is so evident and obvious. Christians sin. The reason why Christians sin is because we all have a sin nature. All of us. We're born with a sin nature. We sin. But something happened when we gave our heart to Jesus. Something happened. Yes, the sin nature still, quote, survives. The sin nature is still resident in us. But because now the Holy Spirit is now indwelling us, the Holy Spirit is no longer free. The Holy Spirit is no longer free to do as it pleases. Amen? And that's so important. So now when it comes to sin, I no longer love it. I no longer desire to live in it. I no longer desire it. I no longer require it. Sin is now something that is supposed to be, for the Christian, something that is in the background. No, we're not sinless, but it's in the background. The sin nature has been subdued. Romans 6 says that sin shall not have dominion over us. So sin is no longer our master. It's not the boss of us anymore. And so we relish in the fact that Jesus Christ has come. And he has given us the victory. Amen. But what happens? What happens when the sin nature, and rather even what happens, but how does the sin nature rise again? How does the sin nature ascend? What causes the sin nature to begin to make inroads again in a Christian life? Well, it goes back. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, if we can go there real quick. Once again, we do a lot of scripture here, and we make no apology for that. We do a lot of scripture here. But here's what it says, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, which says very simply, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, walk ye in him." As you received him. How did we receive him? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We can also go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So we get saved through confession, of course, but we believe. There's that faith factor that's so important. The most widely known scripture in the Bible, probably John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's not talking about just believing in Jesus. Oh, I know that Jesus existed. No, it's believing in him and believing in what he did. Believing in who he is and what he accomplished on the cross. That's what we believe. And so it goes all the way back to that. And so since we live by that same faith that was resonant when we got saved, that is how we are to go on living our Christian life. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20, bears that out. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." I live by the faith of the Son of God. Again, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So once again, we must never take our eyes off of the faith factor when it comes to how we live this Christian life. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, when our focus is no longer on Jesus, the sin nature will rise. The sin nature will rise. We read in Romans chapter number 7, in verse number 11, this is Paul the Apostle speaking about his own experience. This is what he said. He said, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Sin, taking occasion, okay, by the commandment, because of the presence of the law, sin said, "I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise." You see, what it comes down to is something that I've called over the years the green grass effect. The green grass effect. You know that when you see, when I was a child, I would see that grass laying out there and the sprinklers going off. And usually there was a sign there that said, you know, "Don't go on the grass, keep off the grass." What happens when you see an instruction like that? What happens when you see a sign telling you not to do something? And I was a child. I was a young boy. You see that, and that automatically, the juices start flowing. Don't do it? Are you telling me not to do something? Well, you know what that means. That means I got to step in that grass and do what I got to do. It's that green grass effect. And that's what happens. There was a commandment there that told me not to do something. And my immediate response was not, "Okay, let me obey that." My immediate response was, "I must do something to thwart that thing." Not keep it. The sin nature in you says, go against it. And that's what the sin nature does. And when we begin to do other things other than keeping our eyes on Jesus, we begin to create laws. We don't intend to, but we begin to create laws along the way. And our focus goes from Christ and his finished work to that thing that we do, whatever it may be. And the sin nature, rather than staying in its place, the sin nature will rise because I say, "I gotta do this. I gotta do this." And the sin nature says, "No, you don't. You don't have to do that." The sin nature. This is why we sin. Amen. This is why we sin. So how do you deal with sin? How do you deal with sin in your life? Many, this is a question that has come up in the lives of many. What does an individual, a Christian, do when sin begins to be predominant? Some will take to fasting. I'm going to fast my sin away. That's what some do. People will do different things. I went on a little internet journey over the last few days, and I went and I typed in Google how to overcome the sin nature. That's what I typed in, how to overcome the sin nature. And the different websites and the different people and all the things, and page after page after page after page. And let me, I want to read you some of the things that I found online concerning how to deal with the sin nature, dealing with sin in your life. Now, these are all very practical solutions. And I'm not going to say that each and every one of these solutions are something that is totally ridiculous. Never, ever do anything like that, because they're all not that. But let's look at a few of them, okay? Hate your sin. If you hate your sin, you won't do it. Learn to hate it. Well, see, yes, we should hate sin. But once again, what does that have to do with helping me to overcome the sin nature? Your attitude towards sin is not going to stop you from doing whatever it is that may be going on in your life. Starve your sin. Starve your sin. Don't do anything to promote it. Don't do anything to cause your sin, whatever it may be. Don't do anything to cause your sin to want to rise. You understand the concept. You understand the concept. But once again, when you're faced with your giant, I'm going to call your sin sin in your life. I'm going to call it a giant for the time being. When you're faced with that giant, what do you do? What do you do when it's right in your face? Starve it. Kill it. We understand that concept. Kill your sin. The Bible says that we are dead to sin. But the Bible, what it says there in Romans is that we are dead to the sin nature. In Romans, in the book of Romans, when you see sin, except in one verse, I believe it's verse number 14, in every other verse, it's talking about the sin nature, the sin principle. It's not talking about the acts of sin, the doing of a sinful behavior. It's not what Romans is talking about. It's talking about the sin nature that resides in all of us. And so how do you deal with the sin nature? All of these things. Identify your sin. Avoid the cause. Have the will to overcome. Remind yourself of the consequences. Set your mind on the reward of overcoming sin. You understand all those things. They make sense. They're not wrong in themselves. But once again, what do those things do to deal with the sin nature? There is only one way to deal with the sin nature. After going after page after page after page on Google, and I must have got up to maybe 20 pages on Google or more. Buried in Google is one particular website from one individual that I've never heard of in my life. Never, ever heard of. Don't know who he is. One particular individual. And it said, overcoming sin through the cross. I say, what? Because it was obvious that the cross is not looked upon as the answer or the solution to sin. Person after person after person after person, ministry after ministry after ministry after ministry, they all had these various different ways and means and thoughts and ideas and all these different things going on, but nobody got to the crux of the matter until I got to this one, overcoming sin through the cross. and I read it. And it, of course, it was head on, right on target. The cross. It's the cross. It's not the wooden beam. It's not the wooden beam. No, we don't put our faith in a relic. We don't put our faith in a literal object, in a piece of wood. That's ridiculous. No, we put our faith, when we say we put our faith in the cross, we are talking about we put our faith in what transpired. What transpired at the cross. What Jesus did at the cross. You can never separate Jesus from what he did. We can never separate Jesus from what he did. Now, once again, when we're talking about separating Jesus from what he did, we're not talking about the fact that Jesus is still on the cross, but we can never separate Christ from his work. We talk about Christ, we talk about the cross, we talk about the blood. It's all, they're all together. And we put our faith in that finished work that Christ accomplished. And once again, it's putting your faith in Christ. He's the one who did it. When we put our faith there, then and only then, will the sin nature take a back seat. The sin nature will take a back seat. Now, along the way, as I was on Google and just Googling through page after page, I came across one very interesting quote that I've known for years, but it was brought back to my attention again. It's a quote from an individual by the name of Oscar Wilde. If you do any reading, Oscar Wilde was an author back in the 1800s, and he wrote a book. One of his more famous books was The Picture of Dorian Gray. It was also made into a movie, but he made a statement in this book, The Picture of Dorian Gray, and it tells a lot. The book is a work of fiction, but it tells a lot about his own life, because Oscar Wilde himself was a homosexual. It was frowned upon in those days. Homosexuality was not something that was prominent. If you were a homosexual in those days, you basically, you were shunned by society. But he was out of the closet, as we would call it today. Okay? He didn't care about popular opinion. But he made this statement in the book. The only way to get rid of a temptation is to yield to it. That's what he said. Resist it, and your soul grows sick with longing for the things it has forbidden to itself, with desire for what its monstrous laws have made monstrous and unlawful. So he says, don't fight temptation. If you want to sin, go ahead. Don't deprive yourself. Now, that is a desperate plea. Of course, Oscar Wilde was not a Christian. But that statement, it contains a desperate plea for help. A desperate plea for help. You see, even the Christian can find themselves in a place of desperation when it comes to sin. If they've known nothing but frustration, if they've known nothing but a lack of victory, if they've known nothing but bondage for a period of time and they can't seem to shake this thing or things or just can't seem to get it right, some give up. Give up. Give up in the sense, I'm not going to fight it anymore. I can't deal with it. I can't. And some come to that place. Some come to that place. That's not the place that the child of God needs to be. Because the fact is that the Lord is not going to kick you out. Listen, don't quit. This is what I'm trying to say. Do not quit. Do not give up your faith. Your faith. It's not about how much you do what you do. It's not about fasting for 52 days. It's not about praying enormous amounts of time. Prayer is never going to hurt you. Reading the Word of God is never going to hurt you. Fasting, as the Lord calls you to do it, fasting is not going to hurt you. But are they the means of victory in the Christian life? Victory comes through faith in the finished work of Christ. Victory, victory over sin comes through faith in the finished work of Christ. As you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. That is how that takes place. So that's important. It's important that we understand that. Now, I made a statement at the close of last week's lesson, and I want to bring that statement up again, and because it's relevant, it's necessary, okay? It sounds a little cruel, it sounds a little far-fetched, but here's the truth of the matter. Some individuals struggle with sin, and I'm not trying to put doubt in anyone's mind. I'm not trying to cause anyone to begin to think and wonder if this is who they are. I'm not trying to get anybody to think along those lines. But the fact is that many, many struggle with sin and can't get it right for the simple reason is that they've never actually become born again. I know how that sounds. That's a devastating thought. But some within the Christian community are not saved. There are those within our churches that take on the appearance, and I'm not trying to be a judge, okay? The Bible says, let the wheat and tares grow together. I don't know who these people are. But there are some who take on the appearance of being saved. It's easy to look saved. It's easy to behave saved amongst saved people. And many of these people who are not saved, they may believe in their heart of hearts that they are truly saved. But the reason why many, not all of course, but why many struggle is because they're not saved in the first place. And so right there, they're not going to have the help that they need. They're not indwelt by the Spirit of God. They haven't put their faith in Christ. They have never put their faith in the finished work. So they have no means to deal with sin in their life. That's where some are. There might be a small corner, but wherever they are and whoever they are, there are those that fit that description. There are those that fit that description. Now, the fact that you or I may deal with sin, it's because, first of all, because we have now gotten saved, we now have, because of the indwelling Spirit of God, we now have a sensitivity to sin. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of sin. We have a sensitivity to it, and that's a good thing. We need to remain sensitive to sin. If you do something, if you say something, if you think something, if something untoward is going on in your life, you need to be able to know it. And the Holy Spirit is there. One of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is there is to let you know something's not right, and you need to get it right. The Holy Spirit will put his finger right on whatever's going on that's not right, and you need to obey the Spirit's leading. And so it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to become sensitive to sin in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But once again, at the same time, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, terrible things can happen. Now, I want to read from several different places. As a Christian, if we and when we remove our faith from Christ and his finished work, there's going to be some things that are going to happen. Some things are going to happen. There are going to be at least three things are taking place when we take our focus off of Christ. I'm not saying that they all happen immediately, but they all are part and parcel of what happens when we take our faith from Christ and place it on something else, someone else. Yes, you can put your faith in people. Yes, you can put your faith in your church. Yes, you can put your faith in your own activity, how much you attend, how much you go to church, how much you read your Bible. We talked about it. You can put your faith in all of these things. When a Christian puts faith in anything else, they are making that thing the object or the focus of their faith. Now, three things are going to happen when this takes place. I'm gonna call it the IFF factor. The IFF factor. The if factor, if you will. Okay? Let's read what it says in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 29. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me get there real quick. Hebrews 10 and 29. All right. It says, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Is it that serious? Is it that serious? Listen, we've already talked about the fact that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Faith, we call that faith in his finished work. We call that faith in the cross. We call that faith in his blood. When we don't have the blood in its proper place in our life, when we don't trust what he has done, this is what can happen. This is what can happen. We have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, his blood has sanctified us, an unholy thing. One way this happens, and I'll go into this real quick before I move on. There are many right now who are gearing up to Christians. There are many Christians who right now at this very moment are gearing up to take Passover. Not to learn about Passover and what it means, but there are many who are gearing up right now to partake of a Passover meal as Christians. Now, is this something that a Christian should do? Should Christians partake of Passover? Now, the opinions vary. I'm on the side of absolutely not. Absolutely not. A Christian should not partake of Passover. It is not necessary. Passover is looking forward to the coming Messiah. Christ has come. So why do we need to go backward looking forward to him coming when he's already come? So that's a complication. That's a problem. And so when an individual goes back on the blood and doesn't see the blood as viable, and doesn't see the blood as enough, and doesn't see the blood as that which has saved him and made them free, they are, as it says here in Hebrews, they have trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing, and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Despite. That's the word. That word despite is the word insult. It is an insult to the Holy Spirit to do such a thing. And so number one, what can happen when we venture out and begin to put our faith in other places? We are diminishing the blood in our own lives and we insult the Holy Spirit. Second thing that can happen, and we go to Galatians chapter number 2. We've already been in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, but the very next verse says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We do not live this Christian life by keeping the law. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. No one's going to be justified by the law. The law is not going to do anything to enhance your Christian life. And when we talk about law, we know that here Paul is talking about the Mosaic law. But once again, there are laws that we institute. There are laws that we create in our own lives. And we say, this is how this must be. This is what I must do. And we create our own laws in our process of living for God. And it should not be done. When this does happen, Scripture says very clearly here that we frustrate the grace of God. That word frustrate means that we set it aside. Once again, a similar thing, insulting the Spirit of grace and frustrating and setting aside the grace of God. These are things that should not be done by the child of God. Faith in Christ and his finished work. Finally, in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Fallen. When we try and institute law in our lives, when we move away from Christ and his finished work to deal with sin and even just to live out this Christian life, we fall from grace. We move away. And once again, it's something that should not be done in the Christian life. And so we insult, we frustrate, and we fall. Anytime that we move away from the finished work of Christ. And we need to make doubly sure that we're keeping our faith where it belongs. Now, once again, when law begins to dominate and law begins to make its appearance again, it's because we have taken our eyes off of Christ. It's because that our faith is no longer in him. The sin nature will do what I'm going to call a slow burn, and then the sin nature will erupt. It will emerge, and then that's when you will encounter problems, sin problems in your life. Now, sin, to talk about the various sins, sin runs the gamut. The sin nature is like a sin machine. It just pushes out sin of any kind. Words, deeds, thoughts, actions, activities, whatever it may be, the sin nature is ready. The sin nature is set. Okay? The sin nature is all set to do whatever it wants to do. But once again, we must remember that it's not a free agent. Just like Satan, we always talk about the fact that Satan is not a free agent to run to and fro and do whatever he wants to do, whatever he desires. The sin nature also is not a free agent any longer. It is not a free agent any longer. It has been subdued. As Lauren Larson says, the plug has been pulled out. It cannot operate as it once did. It does not operate as it once did. Amen. Law. Remember what the law is. Let's go back to the Mosaic law just for a moment. Remember that the law, Scripture calls the law a ministry of death. Scripture calls the law a ministry of condemnation. That's what the law. What did we just read? By law comes the knowledge of sin. But if you don't know this about the law, if you don't know that the law is a ministry of death and condemnation, and you plunge yourself into it, then you will become a victim of it. Okay? We are not as Christians, we are not to be victims, of course. We are already victors in Christ. Amen? That's who we are. And so as even though the different things that people do to deal with sin, on a purely practical level, they make sense on a practical level. But when we understand that it is through faith in Christ and his finished work, that we will find the Holy Spirit working optimally on our behalf. Optimally. Once again, when you read your Bible, what harm is going to happen to you if you read your Bible? Not a thing. Not a thing. It's the Word of God. But if you are reading it to get yourself, to make yourself strong and victorious, if you are reading the Word of God to obtain righteousness, then you are reading it for the wrong reasons. And that goes for prayer, and that goes for fasting. The spiritual disciplines that we talk about, these spiritual disciplines are not harmful, but they are intended. What do you say when on a medicine bottle, what does it say on the medicine bottle? Many times it says, use only as directed, not even medicine, just things in general. Use only as directed. We use prayer as directed. We use Bible reading as directed. We use fasting as directed. We do these things as directed. We must not use them in a way that is not it's not meant for. That's what we need to remember. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with praying. You better pray. Nothing wrong with reading your Bible. You better read your Bible. Nothing wrong with fasting as the Lord calls you to do so. All of these things are good and right. However, when it comes to victory, our faith needs to be in Christ and who he is and what he's done. That's where our faith goes. If we want to see, if we want to experience victory. Now, the fact is that we are already victorious. Scripture says, 1 Corinthians says that he always causes us to triumph. He always causes us to triumph. So victory is something that we have, but victory is not something that we all experience. Everybody doesn't experience it because everybody doesn't deal with sin in the same way. And so your life will give off a very unvictorious odor. If I can use this, if you understand what I mean, if you don't have if your faith is not in Christ and his finished work, then you won't experience the victory that you can. You won't sense it. You won't sense that victory. But once the revelation of Christ, once the revelation of the cross begins to make inroads in your life, you will see change begin to take place in your life. Change will begin to take place in your life. And that is something that we need to make sure that we understand. One last thing before we close out here tonight. You know, there have been many different ways that we talked about to deal with sin, and we've talked about this before. One of the saddest things that I've seen in any particular church, a church that was calling themselves fighting against the devil on a particular deliverance night, is what I believe they called it, and I would imagine the leader of that particular church told them that they needed to come with their swords and with their knives and with their machetes, and I don't know if these things were plastic. It was online. I saw it. I don't know if these things were plastic. They looked real to me, but they came with these things and they're waving it, and I guess they were waving it at the devil and believing that somehow the devil is going to be offended, or the devil is going to be somehow he's gonna run. No, the devil is not afraid of such things. The devil is not afraid of such antics. Listen. You can't shout the devil out. You can't march the devil out. You can't wave knives and forks and spoons and weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't do all those things to get the devil out. There's only one way to deal with the devil in your life. if the devil, if Satan himself is beginning to make inroads, I'm talking about temptation and all sorts of things, there's only one way to deal with the devil. Okay? You got to cross him out. You got to cross the devil out. That's the only way to deal with the devil. Through Christ. Through Christ. It was at the cross that Satan was defeated soundly and roundly. That is how we deal with the devil. That is how we deal with sin. That is how we deal with temptation. That is how we deal with the sin nature. It is all the same. It is through and by and via Christ and his finished work. That is how we deal with the sin dilemma in the Christian life. Amen. So we honor the Lord and we bless him. Amen. And we thank him for what he's doing in our midst. We pray that something spoken here on this night has been of some sort of benefit to you. We have to remember, listen, we have to remember that we are living in a fallen world. We are absolutely living in a fallen world. And we have been more or less trained and indoctrinated. We spoke about this last time. We have more or less been trained and indoctrinated in the ways of the world. We know how to sin. No one has to teach you how to sin. You know how to do it. It comes naturally. And so the fact that we live in a fallen world increases the likelihood that you are going to sin. You are going to sin. Talking about volume, some sin more than others. All of that has nothing to do with it. How much you sin. The fact is that sin happens. Sin happens for all of us because we live in this fallen world. And Satan, he comes, and as the prince of this present age, he does all he can. Remember, not as a free agent, as he is allowed, but he does all he can to undermine. He does all he can to undermine any efforts on your part or my part at righteousness. He knows. Satan knows what happens when a heart comes to Jesus. Satan knows. He understands. Satan understands that he understands it on a practical level, he's ever going to do. But he understands what happens when Christ gets in a person's life. He knows that life is forever changed. He knows that. And so he will do all he can to undermine any efforts towards righteousness. Even in your own life, in my life, he will do what he can in his whatever feeble way he can. He will do all he can to undermine any effort on your part to keep your faith in Christ and his finished work. The fact that you and I, the lust of the flesh that we have, means that you and I are going to deal with sin in this life. We are going to deal with sin until we leave this world. If I can go real quick to Ephesians chapter number, and I'll close with this. We opened with it last week, and we're going to close with it this week. Ephesians chapter number 2, starting in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We've been made alive. We have been made alive in Christ. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Talking about all the satanic influence that surrounds us. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is why people do what they do. Among whom also we all had our conversation. We all lived this way. We were all the children of disobedience. We were all those individuals. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we were. That's who you were. That's why you did what you did. And the reason why you will continue to do what you do, because of the lust of the flesh that still is resident in us via the sin nature. You're still going to do stuff. You're still going to sin. But, verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, in sins rather, hath quickened us together with Christ. He has made us alive with Christ. This is why we are victorious. This is why sin shall not have dominion over us, over you, because we have been made alive in Christ. This is why the sin nature no longer has dominion in our lives, because we have been made alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, we now walk in newness of life. In newness of life. Remember what I said earlier, that the fact that we don't love it, we don't live in it, we don't desire it, we don't require it, because we now walk in newness of life. Because we died with him, and we have been raised up together with him to sit in heavenly places. This is the new creature that we are in Christ. This is why sin should not have the inroads that it has in some lives. Because of Christ. Because of who he is. Because of who he is. We are who we are. But it's all about him. It is all about him. So once again, we bless the Lord. We honor him and we thank him for what he is doing in our midst. Amen. God is good. God is on the throne. And we just thank him for who he is. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you again. We thank you. We honor you. Lord, we can do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're lost. We're undone. Lord, we know that the enemy seeks to devour us. But Lord, we know that we stand in you. Lord, we know that we've been raised up together to sit with you. Lord, we know that without you, Lord, we will be lost and undone. But we know that in you, Lord, we have victory, Lord Jesus. Victory. Lord, we pray that that victory will never cease. That victory remains from now and from here on into eternity, Lord Jesus. We are victorious in you. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our present condition. We thank you for our present position, Lord Jesus. We know that our condition is not always where it should be. But, Lord, we thank you for our position, Lord. We know that nothing can take away from us what you have given us, Lord, as we keep our faith in you. So, Lord, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. I thank you for each and every one under the sound of your word here tonight. Lord, allow us to continue to keep our eyes on you. We bless you. We honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I have a question. What is the meaning of Numbers 32:23? When it says, but if you fail to do this, do what? Well, let me go to Numbers real quick. Let me go to Numbers 32, verse number 23. Numbers 32 and verse number 23. Okay, look at that real quick. All right. But If you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Well, it's going to take a reading of the verses before that, and I have not read this particular passage for quite some time. So I'm not going to try and tell you do what. Obviously, the Lord had given Moses and the people of Israel some instructions here. I don't want to read the whole thing now. If we read through those verses, we will find exactly what the Lord told them to do. Amen. I'm not prepared to do it right now, but he says, in no uncertain terms, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. He lays down a very important principle there. Obviously, there's an important principle there that the Lord lays out, and that principle is that your sin will find you out. The fact that you haven't followed through and done what the Lord has asked you to do, the fact that you have possibly hidden sin, your sin will expose itself. That's the principle that is laid out in that particular statement. But what exactly it was that he had told them to do, I'd have to go back and read that entire passage, which I will do once we sign off, so I can know myself, so I can refresh my mind. I'm sure I've read it before, but I don't remember it. Amen. So once again, we just bless the Lord and we thank him. God bless you, my brother Frank and Tracy T and Doris. Thank you all for joining us here tonight. Pastor Jeff, Landry, Sue, Brother Terrence, amen. Donald Thompson, God bless you. Patty Black, God bless you all. Thank you for joining us, amen. Once again, if you are watching over Facebook, we ask that you share this page out, that others also may be blessed. Tomorrow night, we will be back here, Lord willing, with our final night of our weekly online ministry. Tomorrow night, we're going to continue. We're going to continue in our cross-talking series with the Word of the Cross 101. The Word of the Cross 101. That'll be on tomorrow night. Amen. And we're going to be taking and looking and focusing on the phrase, Christ and Him Crucified. And that phrase, Christ and Him Crucified, takes on a special meaning as we approach the commemoration of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk at length. Once again, we gave you sort of a little preview of some of the things that we're going to be discussing tomorrow night. But we'll get into that on tomorrow night a little bit further. But Christ and Him Crucified says it all, and it speaks volumes, and no other time does it speak greater than as we begin to commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So join us tomorrow night if you can, if you are able. We understand that Wednesday night is midweek Bible study, but can't catch us live. You can catch us always on the replay. Amen. So I want to thank you for joining us. You can, if you need to know more about who we are, you can go to our website at thatstheword.org. You can also go to our YouTube channel, become a subscriber if you have not done so already. You can also go to Spreaker.com. That is our podcast platform. You'll find the other podcasts that the Lord has enabled us to produce over the years. On YouTube, we are coming up. We are coming up on 2,200 uploads. We have at least almost 2,200 uploads on YouTube. Amen. And so we've been out here for quite a while, and we've been doing this for a bit, and so we just bless the Lord and thank Him for what He is doing. Amen. So once again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you the next time you're able to make it. For me, it'll be tomorrow night. For you, whenever you are able to make it, we'll be here, Lord willing. Amen. So until then, have a good night, and God bless you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.